Hi guys, welcome back to another video or podcast, depending if you're listening to the audio version only. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, professional footballer for the Real Monarchs in the USL Championship. You might have heard of him. His name is Jack Blake. Jack, how are you, mate?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, mate. It's good to have you. It's good to meet, I suppose. I know we've been trying to set up a meeting for a long time, and this is the best we can do right now with the current situation, but if this counts as a first meeting, it's great to meet you and have a good chat about the current things with footballers dealing with this time. And how are you finding it down there, mate?
Yes, finding it difficult, to be honest. Obviously, no one's ever experienced anything like this before, and as a footballer, it's very unique. You know, in my situation, we were one game into the season. We just finished our first game, and then it all kind of broke down. So. Definitely a unique situation, one that we're trying to make the best of. And I think for me, the hardest thing is just the unknown, you know, just not knowing when the season's going to start back up again. And I'm sure we'll dig deep into plenty of questions that people have been asking us. So,
yeah, for sure. So, yeah, well, obviously, you were just starting your season. Mine just came to an end. We are going to dig deeper into that, but let's just get to know you a little bit more for those who may be seeing you for the first time. I know you just hit 30,000 subscribers on your YouTube channel. Congrats.
Thank you.
That's great. So guys, if you haven't already, check out Jack Blake on YouTube. He documents his life as a professional player, from road trips, his nutrition, he does training sessions, a lot. It's really high quality stuff, showing behind the scenes of the Real Monarchs, a very good professional setup there. It's very interesting for me, and I know it's providing a lot of value and benefit to a lot of players out there, so make sure you check them out. I'm going to put links either in the show notes or the description box below. But Jack, I think it's worth noting that we're from the same city in England, which is pretty cool, the city of Nottingham. Yes. We were just chatting beforehand, so small world, two Nottinghamshire lads, just giving each other tea advice now and again behind the scenes. It's good times. But yeah, we both grew up in Nottingham. It's crazy. How do you describe Nottingham when someone asks us? The only thing I have to give anyone is it's where Robin Hood is from.
Yes. Well, to be honest, I think Nottingham's very vibrant, especially for sport. You know, you have Nottingham Forest, you have Notts County, which I think are the two closest grounds in the world. And then Notts County is one of the oldest, it's the oldest club in the world as well. So a lot of history with regards to football, and then sport in general. You also have the Trent Bridge cricket ground, and it's definitely a vibrant city, and played a big part in, you know, my love for the game. You know, growing up, I lived 5 minutes away from the city ground, the Nottingham Forest Stadium, and so it was definitely a great city to be born into with great people, and I only speak highly about Nottingham.
Yeah, I do miss it a lot, I'm sure you do as well, but it's just kind of weird to think about. We're probably walking around the same streets at some point, both born in the 90s, kind of growing up in the same era. We already mentioned before we started recording, you know, we've both kind of been around the same kind of parts of Nottingham and same venues and things like that. Both played for local teams that probably played against each other at one point. I'm sure we weren't on the same field at the same time, but still funny to think about. And now we're both out here in the US and in different parts, but
yeah, definitely a small world. When I first watched your video, I could detect that Nottinghamshire accent. So you might have been in the States a bit longer than me, so you got a bit of an American twang more than I have.
Yeah. But mine's all over the place because I lived in Australia for a bit as well. So I've got a bit of a, it's almost like Bohemian or something. I don't really know. But yeah, I think it comes out thicker when I'm speaking to a British person. So hopefully I'm getting some training in right now. So I've already kind of shared with my followers, my subscribers, how I'm training during this time. It's a different position than you're in. So my pro indoor season just came to an end. So this is technically off season for me. I was supposed to be going into my outdoor season. I was going to be playing in the NPSL, which was just announced to be cancelled. So technically I'm in my off season right now, but still wanting to stay in shape. So I've kind of shown my training routines, kind of maintaining my fitness, but you're in a bit more of a unique position. As you mentioned, you already played one game into the season. Now it's postponed. It was originally 30 days. Now it's been pushed to 60 days, I believe,
yes,
in the USL. And just to give a little bit of context for those listening outside the US, so the USL Championship is technically second division. So you have the MLS, then you've got the USL Championship, Then you've got USL 1, which is a pretty new league. Then USL 2, which is the league I played in a couple of years ago. But there's no promotion relegation between the two. But on the pyramid, you're at the second highest level in the nation. And last season won the USL Championship. So absolutely amazing achievement. If there was only a promotion relegation, you'd be in the MLS right now. So.
Yes. Yeah, so my club plays in the USL Championship, but we're also connected to an MLS team, which in itself is unique. You know, I've never America's the first country I played in where it's you know, no promotion relegation. And when we won the championship, you know, I had a lot of people asking me, you know, why aren't you in the MLS? And I think with the MLS, it's such a business entity that's surrounded by a lot of money, and it's more about the franchise business than necessarily the sport performing well, which took a little bit of time for me to adjust to. But being connected to the MLS team also provides, you know, opportunity to move further up. And, you know, ever since I came over to the States, I found out about the international roster spots, and obtaining a green card for me would massively increase my chances of getting into the MLS, and I'm sure you're aware about the green card situation. But so I've just obtained the approvement of the visa, and I'm waiting now for an interview date to go back to London, which could happen at any time. But this year sort of put a spanner in the works with that one as well. So I love playing in America, and I'm at a fantastic club. So.
Good. Well, we're all rooting for you to be in the MLS. I know I am. So you're certainly of the caliber.
Thanks,
mate. Absolutely top quality player. Been following along. So yeah, unreal goals and free kicks. We're definitely both into those free kicks. It must be a British thing growing up around the Beckham era or something. I don't know. But
yeah,
one day we'll get together and we'll have a little battle for sure. I think it's got to be done. We've both put up some free kick tutorials on our channel. So it'd be nice to go at it for a little bit. Just as
definitely. Like, that'd be brilliant.
Good laugh, yeah. But back to the question. So you're obviously in a position where at any moment, if things improve really quickly, you could be back playing in the near future. Yeah. I'm sure it's not going to be as sudden as, all right, the season's starting next week or whatever. I'm sure you're going to have that time to prepare as a team and whatnot. But you are still trying to keep yourself at a good level of fitness and technically sharp. So how would you describe your training? What resources do you have? And how are you kind of keeping in shape at this point?
So the first thing that I think was difficult, and like I said before, is the timeline, is not knowing when we could be returning back. So at the end of last season, after the final, I had 2 weeks rest. I think that's very important to recover from the season, because the seasons are very long. We have, I think it was 38 games last season. And so it's important to you know, recover after the season. So I took 2 weeks off. And then I was able to, you know, plan my training regime, because I knew that the start date of our return to pre-season was January 20th. So in America, the seasons, the off-seasons in my league are usually longer than what I've been used to back in England. Back in England, it's usually 6 to 8 weeks. Here, it's more like 2-3 months, which took time for me to adapt to that initially. So I planned my pre-season, my off-season schedule, came back to pre-season feeling good, and then as a team we worked so hard in pre-season to get that fitness as a group, and then also because we signed a lot of new players, it was also getting that relationship with them on and off the field, which we did a good job of, and then we hit the ground running the first game of the season, and then all of this broke down. So from my point of view, I'm now restricted to being at home, so all my workouts are done at home. A typical day for me at the moment would be waking up, just having, you know, spending time with my son, and then usually around 10 a.m. I'll go out for a run. And I'm fortunate enough to live right across the road from the training facility, so I go over to the grass fields where no one else is. We're not allowed to train with each other, so we've been told by our team and organisation that no one is allowed, first of all, into the facility, but we're also not allowed to train together. So that in itself is mentally quite difficult, you know, to be always training every day, and then also not knowing the timeline as to when we could return. So for me, that's been the biggest hurdle to overcome. Back to the routine. I would be usually going out for a run, and all our sessions are given to us on an app called Team Builder, which is designed to give teams and players in teams workouts to do whilst they're not at the club. And you can also input, for example, if you're doing a squat, you can input the weight and the sets. And so next time you go to do that. So it's a very highly technical program that we use. And so all our running sessions as well as our home workouts will be on there, which I've been sharing on Instagram. And so yeah, I go out for a run, come home, and then I'll usually do like a bodyweight circuit, or right next to me is an assault bike. So I've been doing an assault bike workout. I did one of those today, which I'm sure you know yourself are not, yes, not the most enjoyable. but for me, the sessions, I've been trying to replicate the high intensity that I would get from training. So, you know, short amounts of rest, but working very hard during the working set. So that's basically what it's been looking like for me. But again, I think the most difficult thing has been just the mental side of it rather than the physical.
Cool. Yeah, so you answered a couple of my questions there. So your team is actually sending out workouts to you guys to take on. So it's not all just up to you. You are doing a lot by yourself, I'm sure, but you are actually having programs kind of enforced and given to you, so you have a rough idea or a rough kind of core workout that you can do that, mm-hmm, you know is going to get a good quality session out of. So that's pretty good, actually. Right. That,
yeah, I actually have it here. I can show you on the screen. Okay. So if I go into my workout for today, which I'll show the camera right now, so it will give us an idea of the running conditioning, and then also each individual exercise. And then along with those exercises, we also have video of one of our sports scientists doing the exercise, which is also very helpful. Sometimes, you know, we have exercises that we're not sure of the name, you know, the technical term. So it is a very like highly technical app, but one that I absolutely love, and I'd highly recommend anyone out there who is involved in a sports team. If that sports team uses that, then I'd highly recommend the app.
Brilliant. Yeah, and I watched your most recent video. You put an individual technical session out on the pitch, which I really enjoyed. Good to see how you're working with the ball. It's good to see that we kind of have a similar training philosophy. Some of the drills you were doing, certainly stuff that I'm trying to incorporate in my training as well. And yeah, you had some drone footage, and you could see one of your teammates on the pitch next to you. We were kind of having a laugh before this. You kind of just have to wave and
yeah,
wish them well. You can't really train together at this point. It's
6 feet apart.
Yeah, you should just ping the ball between courts, yeah, wiping your touch a bit. But
yeah,
that's brilliant. So yeah, I am getting a lot of questions, as I'm sure you are, from players who are in different situations, and I've had a lot of people sort of email me, send me direct messages, letting me know that they've either had a tryout cancelled, or they just made a team but now the season's cancelled. And I think this is what is tough for myself and a lot of players at this time. As footballers, we're used to having a date in mind that we're training for, whether it's we're training in January to start the season in February, like we have a 6 week time frame, or we're training a certain way on a Monday for a Saturday match, and then we tailor our session throughout the week preparing for that. So there's always a date as a footballer, and it's probably been this way for both of us for the last 20 plus years, right, or so. But for the first time, and we're kind of all in the same boat together, none of us really have an end date in mind that we know this is the next time I'm playing, this is the next time I'm training with the team. So what kind of advice could you give to players in this position, as far as what level of fitness do you think they should be maintaining? How much should they be grinding at this point? Because do we need to be match fit because there isn't another match in sight in the near future? Or is it more about just keeping everything sharp and maintaining?
I think that's a great question. I think my outlook on it is why would I be training and grinding really hard every single day and trying to be match fit when I know that there's not going to be a match for potentially months? So right now, at the stage of my training, I'm in a more of a maintenance phase of just staying sharp, and then I'm anticipating soon that we'll get to know a bit more information. Things will start, hopefully, you know, the safety of people in America and across the world starts to increase, and that the cases start to plateau and come down. And I think once we start to get a bit of notice and understanding of how it's going along, and maybe that we could be returning within maybe a month, then I would then execute my off-season mentality, which is, okay, so I know that I could potentially start in a month, now I'm going to start upping my training. So right now I would say that from where I was, where I was match fit, I've sort of come down naturally and I'm at like a plateau, I'm at a level where I'm just maintaining. So I'm training, usually the schedule for us in a training week would be Mondays, Tuesdays we train, and those would be very difficult days. So Tuesday especially would be a very intense training session followed by a gym session. Our Wednesdays would be off, this is presuming our game is on a Saturday. Thursday would then be a very intense session similar to Tuesday, and then Friday would sort of drop off with a game on the Saturday, recover Sunday, back in Monday. So that would be like our regular schedule. But at the moment I'm sort of doing alternate days. So I would do like a hard day on a Monday, I would then do like a lighter day and not do any running on a Tuesday, then I would on a Wednesday. So it's just about maintaining at the moment, which when you're used to training every day and very hard, and I'm sure you'll know yourself, when you're used to training every single day, your body becomes adapted to that, and you know, mentally and physically you feel great, you know, you're training every day, you're doing what you love to do. But there's been a side to me where I've had to rein it back in a little bit, and sometimes that can be a little bit frustrating because I'm not able to train every single day as hard as I want to. And there'll be sessions where sometimes I think, I don't feel like I've done enough, but then at the same time I don't want to risk an injury or risk burning myself out so that when we do come back to training I don't have, you know, enough energy. So that's what's been very difficult. But yeah, I'm definitely in a maintenance phase and then ready to sort of kick into my intense stage.
Okay, so what I'm taking from that is it's good to maintain, stay ready so you don't have to get ready to a certain extent, but kind of pay attention to the trends going on right now. And then once things look like they're clearing up, maybe leagues are starting to announce the potential of season starting back up, that's when it's time. But kind of just maintaining it at this point is the best thing. Because obviously, like you were saying, going from training every day, the worst thing you probably could do right now is just not train whatsoever and think this is just a time to completely sit back and relax. And so a lot of people watching, I'm sure, don't have access to the equipment that maybe you and I have. So obviously I have some fitness equipment in my house, I know you do now as well, you have the facility nearby, I also have a facility where we're quite fortunate at this point, it might change, but we can still go out in isolation, I can go to the pitch and work with the ball a little bit. But for those who can't do that, maybe they're in a situation where they have to be inside, it's maybe the law right now, and they don't have equipment in their house, maybe they just have a ball. Do you think it's possible for people to stay sharp and maintain without equipment if they're creative enough with it?
100%, 100%. You know, for me, there's no doubt that you can, you know, become a better footballer, improve technically, improve physically without equipment. You know, there's plenty of sessions you can do, and also, you know, you can also replicate what would be a cone on a football session. You could replicate that as a sock. You know, I've been doing in-house ball sessions where I'm using four socks as cones. You know, I think there's ways all around it. I recently posted a home workout video where I was doing like a body weight circuit, and that didn't include any equipment that I would normally use. So I think I was doing a pistol squat, for example, in the gym, and I was using Leo's tiny little dinner table as like a bench is what I would use in the gym. So there's definitely plenty of opportunity to improve at home. And I think to be honest, you know, I think that some people have more opportunity to improve at home if you're, you know, if you can take advantage of having the knowledge of sessions that people are doing. So I've watched your videos where you show, you know, I think you did it in your downstairs, you know, like a gym in your apartment complex, or downstairs in your house, like you have just a literally a 5x5 area, and you can do simple sessions with cones, with a ball, or with any object, and you're improving as a player without using any equipment. So I think that's more than okay to do that. Yeah,
and I think the sock is the MVP of this quarantine time right now, because I've been getting really creative with socks too. Something I've been doing is just laying out socks and making my own agility ladder, because I don't have the room to spread out a full ladder. So there is so much to be done with socks. So if there's one thing you need to be buying on Amazon right now, it's not toilet paper. It's just multi-packs of socks. Yeah.
Yes.
So, brilliant. Yeah. Yeah, so Yeah, I'm fully in agreement with you. I think there's just so much that can be done inside your house with just a ball. And I think ironically, more than ever, it does seem like more people are training regularly now and sticking to it now that we're forced to stay inside, because I think people need a little bit of a routine, because not everyone's used to being stuck inside for this amount of time, so they're kind of using it as a way to maybe tackle boredom. But I'm getting a lot more clips sent to me than ever, a lot more messages telling me I'm using my training methods and things like that. I'm sure you're the same. I've seen a lot of you've been sharing on your story, a lot of people using your drills and whatnot. So I think you're right. I think if you're willing to be driven and creative during this time, this can be an opportunity to improve maybe even more than a lot of players were beforehand.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also think that the beauty of the game as well is that because everyone around the world is so passionate about football, you know, now not being able to watch football on TV, you know, people are, I think there was a game in Belarus yesterday. I think Belarus is the only country that have a game on at the moment. And I think millions of people were tuning in to watch it. And I think that when the game does return and hopefully we can get back to some form of normality, I think that the passion in the game is going to be so high that if people at home can take advantage of the time they've got to improve as a player and get touches on the ball, stay sharp, I think that then those players are going to be able to capitalize hugely when people come back and play, because not everyone's going to be training, not everyone's going to be doing and staying sharp on the ball. Most people will be in an off-season mode where they're just relaxing and watching Netflix and all that good stuff. But I think that if people can really capitalize on what they have the opportunity to do at the moment, then I think that they're gonna really benefit from it when football does come back.
Yeah, totally agree. It does seem like this, if you allow it to be, it can be a great opportunity, because exactly what you're saying, there's going to be a lot of players taking time off. Now it's time to get those extra reps, and I think it's going to be very obvious when we do come back to our team training sessions who's been staying on the ball, literally, and who's not been. I'm sure there's going to be a few beer bellies showing up to training in some teams, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hopefully not yours, hopefully not mine, but
no. Yeah,
very, very interesting times. What do you think's, I'm sure you've been getting a lot of questions from players. What do you think's been the main theme? Is there a question that you see really cropping up, especially right now, that you want to just address?
I think that just people asking how they can mix up their programs. You know, there's only so many bodyweight exercises you can do, so many drills you can do with the ball. But I would just say to people is be creative with it. You know, I think that sometimes, I think yesterday I was doing some squats with a bag of sugar. You know, if people can just get creative with using different objects, it can also stimulate the mind and allow you to become a little bit more creative with your training and make it more enjoyable, because that's the key. You know, if the training isn't enjoyable and you don't actually have that passion for the game or, you know, enjoy the workouts, then I think that it can feel a lot worse than what it should do. And so I think, you know, it's obvious to me, and it's great to see the passion that people have and the messages that I'm sure you get, that I get from, you know, people that watch our channel, people that love the game. And for me, it's just also this time has made me really reflect on the game itself. And, you know, I've also spent a lot of time watching old footage of me playing, other players playing. And I think it's a great opportunity, like I said before, to learn and continue to grow as a player and make steps forward that maybe other people aren't doing.
Yeah, and that's a great point, actually. So I've seen in one of your videos, maybe you've done it multiple, but you analyse your own performances pretty soon after the match, and you're doing that. Do you analyse other players as well then, still in the modern game? Do you watch full-length matches?
Yeah, so there's definitely a handful of players that I really enjoy watching. Obviously, the likes of Messi, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, all the classics. For me, my advice to people, and when you watch games yourself, is if you can understand your style of play as a player. So for me, I love watching Messi, but it's not my style of game. You know, I'm not going to get the ball, dribble through the whole team, and score. My game is more passing and technical, and you know, I think my focus has to be on watching a player that I feel as though is similar to me. So the players that I enjoy watching as a centre midfielder are Xavi from Barcelona, Iniesta, Luka Modric. I would say they're my three favourite players to watch that are a similar style to me. Toni Kroos is another one. And I think if you can understand your style of play as a player and then find a player who is world class that you can watch and aspire to, you can definitely pick up things. You know, I also hugely admire the great defenders of the game, you know, the Maldinis, the Cannavaros, the legends of the game in defence. But there's no point in me really watching a centre-back defend if I'm a central midfielder that likes to go forward and score goals. So yes, at the same time, I like watching players, but there are certain few players that I really do enjoy watching, and I feel like I can improve my game from being sat on my sofa.
That's great advice. I know you said you're not like Messi, but there is one goal I saw you take it through the defender's legs and you're finishing the bottom corner, you kind of bent it like right to that bottom right corner. And I think Messi would have definitely been proud of that one. That's really good advice. And again, we are being offered a unique opportunity here. Usually, I know a lot of players out there love watching highlights. I myself find myself on YouTube watching highlights. I want to see Messi's best bits of the season, but that's not often a great representation of the game. It's not always accurate. I think if you only watch highlights, you're going to think every time Messi gets the ball, he's just blazing past eight players and dinking it over the goalkeeper. Yes. But in reality, probably, I'm going to go as far as to say 88%, maybe more, is just simple passing and moving, and then he finds those opportunities. But you wouldn't know that unless you watched a full-length match. And I think with the resources like YouTube and that, you can watch older games full length, and it's good to maybe just sit down with a notebook and analyse those kind of players and maybe even keep a checklist of how many times they actually do dribble during a match, and you'll be surprised, because watching a highlight video, just as we said, it looks like they do it 50 times a game, but it might only be 5-6 looking for those opportune moments where they can kind of catch the defence off guard. So this is a great opportunity for us to learn.
Yeah, that's a great point, because you know, I think anyone from getting highlights of themselves together can make them look like Messi. You know, you do all the great stuff, but I think it's only when you watch a full 90-minute game or a number of 90-minute games that you can actually analyse that player individually. And I also think, like you say, making notes is a great point. You know, I always make notes on my notepad. And another thing I would advise is also if you can make notes of the formations that teams are playing. So understanding the role that, for example, Luka Modric is playing. You know, it depends if they're playing more of a 3-5-2 or a 4-3-3 or a different formation or a diamond, his role will change. And I think understanding, sometimes, you know, your manager might say, we, for example, last year we played 4-3-3 up until the middle part of the season, and then our manager, it turned out to be a great idea, moved to a 3-5-2. And it was very important for every player on that team to understand that role and understand their role individually, but also collectively. So when you are watching players individually, it's also important to watch the team and how they click and move.
That's a great piece of advice there that you can take away. But we are all in the same boat, and I know Jack's definitely here for you guys. He's offering a lot of great advice on his channel, and I think he's got an opportunity. He's probably uploading even more now. I know he's had a few sessions up in the last week, and it's great to see. So he's using this as an opportunity as well to share with you guys. He's going to be documenting the experience, as well as I will be as well, documenting how I'm kind of staying in shape during this time. But definitely check out Jack's channel, because such good quality stuff. And if you haven't already seen it, make sure you look back at his previous season, his USL Championship winning season, and you'll see behind the scenes how he's preparing individually as a team, nutrition, recovery, pretty much everything. Hey, Jack.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I also, on camera, want to say, you know, you were one of the reasons I like to start a YouTube channel, and I've watched your videos for years now, you know, and I think what you do and the inspiration that you give to people as well all across the world is fantastic. I also think that indoor football is something that I would love to do at some stage in my career. I think it's extremely exciting, and I think what you're doing is really cool. So thanks for having me on.
I appreciate that. If you ever want to come play for the Lancers, I can put in a good word for sure. Jack, I think we covered a lot of good angles for people today. Plenty of insight there for people to take away from yourself. Obviously, in a very unique situation, and they can learn even more if they head over to your channel. It's Jack Blake. Would really recommend it. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. But make sure you head over there. He's got sessions. He's got a lot of nutrition advice, recovery advice. Shows the entire behind the scenes of his previous USL Championship winning season. So that's definitely worth a watch to see kind of the build up to that, how you're preparing for it physically, mentally, and technically as well. So really good quality stuff. Jack, thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate you spending some time with us. It's been a pleasure, mate.
Thanks, mate. I really appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can do this again sometime in the near future.
Yeah, hopefully in the flesh. I'm sure it'll be coming soon enough. We did have it planned out that I was going to come down there, but I'll be down there soon enough once this all passes. We'll kick the ball around, we'll get a session, maybe a free kick sesh, and you're more than welcome to come up here anytime as well. That'd be great.
Look forward to it, mate.
Cool, quality. Jack, thanks, mate, and I'll chat to you soon.
See you, mate.
Alright guys, thank you so much for watching. If you did enjoy today's video, make sure you smash the like button and hit the subscribe button. Jack's a great guy, make sure you check out his channel. I'm going to put his stuff in the description box and the show notes. Make sure you head over there for some really good quality content that you're going to get a lot of value out. But if you did enjoy today's video, as I said, hit the like button, subscribe button, and I'll see you guys in the next video.